You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, I heard a man say one time, I've been saved for years and I just found out about it. I don't believe in that, friend. When you get passed from death unto life and get regenerated and get born from above, get resurrected from the dead spiritually, get engaged to be married to Jesus, get adopted into a family, and you tell me you get saved and you didn't know it, there's something wrong somewhere. I was preaching on the West Coast at another college at several years ago, probably decades ago, and they were signing up the students outside, and there was a young boy there, and I had to be the Holy Ghost, because I wouldn't have done it. It's against my nature, really. And I went over there to him, and I said, hey, I said, when'd you get saved, son? And his mama was standing by him. And he said, Mama, when did I get saved? There's something wrong with that. I remember when I got saved. And I don't want to get over being saved. Greatest day that ever happened to me. And I don't like to scare people, but you don't have to be, but I was under Holy Ghost conviction for 7 years. It's most miserable years of my life. And I'd go to church, and when they'd start that just as I have, without one plea, I'm talking about I'd be so miserable. And I'd bit my nails down into the quick. And the old women in church would say, Jerry, I said to my mama, Jerry, said Tony's got worms. And I might have had them, but that wasn't my problem. And Daddy would preach, and the evangelist would preach. And they used to give long invitations. I'm nervous about these little altar athletes. They come run down there and hit one knee and up before you can get like a jackrabbit. Somebody help me. They'd give invitations, long invitations. And I'd get some under conviction. I'd be sitting by mama and say, Mama, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'd say, can I go to the bathroom? And she said, well, go ahead, son. And I'd walk out back. Forest Hills at that time had two sections about like this. And I'd go out that side aisle. And I never did stop at the bathroom. I'd walk by the bathroom and head outside. There was some chinky pin oak trees, big old white oak trees out there. And there'd be some deacons out there smoking and watching the parking lot. And if I could just get a good draw of that secondhand Winston. And I'd be at all sincerity. I mean, just it'd break my conviction. And I did it for a long, long time. I remember we was going home one night. And Mama said, I'm going to tell you something, Tony. She said, your problem's not your kidneys. Yeah. Yeah. Your problem's your heart. Yeah. And let me just say, if you're in here playing the game, what a tragedy that we're this far into the church age. And if you don't believe like that, God help you. Amen. Yeah. We're this far into this thing and Laodicean church, and Jesus could come at any time. Amen. And you messing around here lost. Yeah. Hadn't been a whole lot of preaching on salvation. We've heard everything. We've had exhortation. And I thank the Lord for that. And I've needed that. We've had information. And we need a whole lot of that. But if you're lost, man, you need to get saved. Yeah. And I wouldn't wait for an invitation. If I felt the drawing of the Holy Ghost, I'd get in these altars somewhere and somebody would help you. And you don't have to leave here lost. And then I want to help you. I mean, what good preaching we've heard. I mean, I'm so happy we're not in a contest. Because everybody, man, is doing so good. And every single message is spoken to my heart and delivered with intensity and in the right way. And applicable for this very hour in which we live. And I glorify God for that and thank Him for that. Everybody's ministry is not the same. There's a preacher, old preacher called Kuykendall. He was his last name. I just heard about him. I never heard him preach. He's over in Western North Carolina. And Brother Kuykendall just had a reputation to preach it. I mean, they asked him what kind of degree he had. He said he had an RBAP degree. And they said, what is that? He said, rire back and preach, praise God. And Kuykendall described his preaching like this. He said, we got preachers that kind of like a cutting a road through a mountain hillside. Said, you got those that when the jobs are finished up, they come back and they're landscapers and they just clean up the area and make it look so pretty. He said, we got some that drive those graders and they level off the ground and lay off the lines. And he said, my ministry's kind of like this. He said, I come in with the dynamite and blow the rocks out of the way, praise God. Jeremiah says a lot about that. Jeremiah chapter 1, he talks about leveling it up, making it straight. See, you got to plow before you can plant. Amen. And I want to preach what God's laid on my heart. And really, I got so many things he's laid on my heart, I don't know how I'm going to preach it all. But I'm nervous. And you preachers know what I'm talking about. I'm so nervous, man. I'm like those two blind men that was in a fight. Two blind men out there fighting. One of them, they just walked, crowd around them. Somebody in that crowd said, my money's on the one with a knife. That's funny right there. And man, you get killed in this part of the world driving around. I mean, it's dangerous. One old boy, he's complaining about women drivers. Man, he said, me, women drivers are crazy. He said, I saw a woman putting makeup on and said she is curling and said she's talking on the phone and said, man, she's driving with one knee up on the steering wheel. He said, man, he said, made me so nervous I like to drop my razor in my coffee cup. He said, praise God. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Look a couple of places tonight. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah. Page 730, chapter number 19. Isaiah chapter number 19 and verse 16. I'm just going to read it and then give you the backdrop on this, and we'll turn to another text. The Bible said in verse 16, in that day shall Egypt be like unto what? Women. And it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hands of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. Turn, if you will, with me to Jeremiah chapter 51. And verse number 36, once you find it, say hallelujah. It said, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They've remained in their holds. Their might hath failed, and they became as what? They became as what? Women. I can't hear y'all. That's better. Let's try that again. Y'all acting like homeschoolers in here, praise God. That's Jeremiah chapter number 51. Are you there? Verse 36. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as what? Women, thank you very much. And they burn her dwelling places and her bars are broken. And this is a picture of soldiers in the midst of battle that have become weakened. It's not isolated just to Babylonians and Egyptians, but y'all know at the Valley of Elah, God's own people, because of the threats of Goliath, they had dug out and they had just scared to death. Bible counts two different times in that chapter where they were afraid, and one said they were very afraid. And they became fearful. They wouldn't even fight. And I'm looking today at the absence of manhood. Now, my Bible said they became as what? Let's all get together. That's W-O-M-E-N. Let's all say women. And they became as what?
Women.
Now you women just gonna have to bear with me tonight, praise God. I'm not preaching to y'all. Everybody okay? They became as what?
Women.
I've never seen more feminizing.
Come on.
In fundamentalism as there is today. It amazes me. I mean, you know, we almost to the point that we're accepting this transgenderism. Socially, we see it all the time. Brother Stanley and I were in the airport in Salt Lake City, and man, here came something by me. I mean, I didn't know what it was. Looked like it needed to be dipped and sprayed. Somebody help me. And wormed. And I mean, it had a dress on and high heels. Had an Adam's apple sticking out there like a golf ball. Amen. Then had a beard and a mustache and a pocketbook. Is everybody okay? Transgender. They don't know what they are. Who would ever thought in our military? God forbid. I mean, there was a time I encouraged young men to go into the service. But in previous decade, man, I'm telling you, that was not my advice all the time. Who wants to be in a foxhole with somebody who don't know what they are? They don't even know who they are. They think they're a woman. You know, I'm a man born in a woman's body. I was in a woman's body, and I'm a Brother Tony don't understand. I know he means well, but he don't understand. He's really, I'm a woman in a man's body. Well, I was a man in a woman's body one time for 9 months. But I was easily identifiable when I came out. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen, one of my heroes and one of my mentors, he would always say to me, it seemed like sometime during every service, he'd say, if there's one thing on me that looks feminine, he'd turn around and say, look at me, sir. Look at me. See, thing look on me looks like a woman. He'd say, if it is, I want to take it off. And he'd say, hey, man, just like that. I don't want any question about what I am. And this mentality has crept into our circles. Obviously, now ladies, don't get mad at me, but there's traits and characteristics about a woman that God just takes for granted that we can see. He didn't go in any description. He just said they started acting like women. Hey man, said them old soldiers over yonder in Babylon, they started acting like women act. Said them soldiers over yonder in Egypt, when the heat got on and when the judgment fell and when the pressure was on them, they caved in like a bunch of women would. Now I want to preach for about 4 or 5 hours on quit acting like a woman. Amen. I'm tired of these effeminate, lip-wristed, potato string backbone, rose water squirting, lily-livered, little old soft-spoken. Amen. I'm a preacher. I hope you are. I got to thinking, acting like a woman. There's some things that just automatically, I mean, you know, women. You look at a woman and you offend her. I'm saying, he offended me. What's preaching supposed to do? Reprove and rebuke. Now, we've had a lot of exhortation, but 2/3 of the responsibility that Paul gave his protege Timothy was to reprove and rebuke. Reprove, bring back. Reprove, bring back into original shape. Our churches are getting out of shape. We're losing our identity. My papa was a blacksmith. He was a farmer, and he used axes till they would fray over on the butt end of the axe for driving wedges into wood. And oftentimes he'd take that axe head to the forge, and he'd put coal in there and heat it up, and it'd turn cherry red. And he'd take a shop hammer, and he'd beat that axe back into original form. Man, our churches are frayed. Our preachers don't even look like preachers. They don't act like them. They're CEOs, good organizers, amen, suave, smooth, effeminate, reprove, then rebuke. That means a forceful, verbal, to rebuke. All we want is a little sermonette for a Christianette dressed like a majorette. Somebody help me, driving the car, tell me 10 steps to a better self-image, make me feel better. But that's not what we're called to do. God's chosen medium to communicate the message of the gospel to preach to the church is a leather lung, high blood pressure, gravy sopping, biscuit eating Baptist preacher. Amen. when the world in its wisdom knew not God, had pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. God's chosen preachers. Amen for that. And we seem as though the mindset of society has permeated our churches to where, man, we become as women. I mean, you look at one, I told my wife, you look at, baby, you sure are pretty. She, what was ugly yesterday? You can't say the right thing to a woman. These liberals, you can't say the right thing to them. These bunch of moderates, I'm telling you, boy, they lie, and I'm, they get to, and they're all about their hair. I can't believe these preachers, it's got this metro haircuts. Metrosexual. Johnny Bravo, somebody help me. Sir, if you spend over 10 minutes combing your hair, you better check, you better go get your blood drawn. If it takes you over 10 minutes to comb your hair, hey, your wife better go see what she's married to. Somebody say amen. There's something wrong with that. I see all these young pretty boys, they got to go work out and post it. Buy their shirts three times, wearing their sister's, their baby sister's shirt. Try to spiritualize that. I still believe the King James, 2 Timothy 4. For bodily exercise profiteth little. What verse? Why haven't they found that verse yet? And they want to undermine anybody whose waistline is bigger than theirs. They're taking off the shirts and working out on and it makes me sick. That's effeminate. Taking selfies in a mirror, in the gym, taking selfies in a locker room. Sir, who are you trying to show? Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress with your little selfie and your little side pose and your AI? That's girlish, friend. Tweaking your picture. That man, bunch of caricatures. But some of y'all cheapened your platform, putting yourself up there as a cartoon. Everybody thought you was in the first place. Somebody say amen. Now you got a bunch of cartoons of yourself. That's embarrassing. Hey, that's acting like a bunch of women act. Working out all the time. And then they want to try to make it spiritual because you want to lengthen your days of ministry. The healthiest man that ever I knew slept in our home as a boy multiple times was Lester Roloff. He is in shape, boss. I'm talking about he drank so much carrot juice he turned orange, and that was without a tanning bed. Guess what? He had an appointment with death. Hebrews texts about it. He died in a plane crash with grapefruits in the back of it and carrots. Y'all listen to me. I thought we believed this Bible. They want to undermine every preacher I ever really got ministered to and had a belly on him. They want to quote Spurgeon and hit that gym. Somebody say amen. Don't bow your head, I'm not ready to pray yet. I'm just talking about we got the traits and characteristics. And I got something to say. This is all introduction. Some of y'all like looking, can he preach? I'm looking, can you handle it when I get down to it here in just a minute? It's embarrassing to me. I mean, they're all about their hair. They're all about what, they can't stay still. Women's always coming and going. I come home and they're getting in the car. Where are you going? We're going to Walmart. We're going to Goodwill. Hey, man, where y'all going? Well, we're going to TJ Maxx. They're always going somewhere. Some of you preachers act like a bunch of you can't stay somewhere. You can't stay over 3 or 4 months at a church without starting to look across the fence. You get there and get settled in, go look at the grass, looks greener. Yeah, most of the time the grass is greener on the other side, but it's usually built over a septic tank or it's got a higher water bill. Why don't you just stay somewhere? It's the same everywhere you go, friend. Just lock in, rip off the knob, bless God, say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to leave. These bunch of, and they all, I can't believe how these boys playing. That ain't the boys, it's these preachers. It's hooked on these Xboxes and that, what's them other boxes? What is it? Y'all know them number five, Nintendo number fives. And I bet your wife's real proud of you, sir. You really good at that Xboxes. You can get to level 67. But you can't even change a tire on a car. You got to call AAA to come get your tire changed. Hey, something right's effeminate when a preacher can't check his own oil. Don't cut his own grass. I'm worried about preachers don't cut the grass. It ain't time to, I'm just getting started, friend. You can't sit under this kind of preaching all week not say something. Somebody said, by the way, ain't nobody saying nothing anyway. Amen. I never seen such in my life. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And they got to have an entourage all the time. They can't do anything by themselves. Got to have all their support group. I mean, you know, women, they get, it embarrasses me. Women get up and three of them go to the bathroom together. I'm seeing preachers. Do you need to go? Are you going? I don't know. Hey, quit acting like a woman. Why you got to call three or four graduates you went to school with that's done gone liberal and ask them what they think about it? Why can't you make some decisions on your own? They're so indecisive. Well, what should I wear? This should I wear that? Does this look good? Does that look good? My wife will go through 14 dresses one Sunday morning. And I tell her they all look good. I've never said, no, that looks bad. Ain't that crazy? Somebody say, but. These women, they'll say things behind your back they won't say to your face. They get mad when you call out names in the pulpit. They get nervous about that. That's how these preachers are. But they'll talk about you behind their back. And women's, their whole mentality changes when they get with another crowd. If they get around a crowd that thinks different, they start thinking about the crowd they're around. They became, and my text tonight, sir, hi, and they became as women. Start acting like a bunch of women. I mean, they always got a sugar daddy somewhere, you know. One of them at See Me Ministry or what it was, they said, well, now we're not going to name King James. We're King James, but I've got a large donor that's not King James. So we're not going to specify King James. You'll never hear that crowd specify King James. They'll say Bible. We believe the Bible generically. Hey, man, right there, Brother Tony. Amen. They don't, because I've got a large donor. I say perish with your money. I'd rather drink muddy water and sleep in a holler log as compromise on the Bible from mammon. Amen. And they love to be liked. Women like to be seen and they like to be liked. Why didn't they ask me to preach? Why didn't I get on the poster? Well, probably because you ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet. Somebody say amen. I ain't got to the message. I got one or two back there bucking on me. Hey, and they became as women. They like to have fun. They love fun. Always at the golf course getting selfies. I just ain't comfortable hugging up on other men taking selfies. That's a woman thing to me. I can't get enough help. Some of y'all really need this message. I don't know much about fishing, but when I get hung up on a stump, I just keep circling until my lure pulls off. Somebody say, man, if I get hung up right here, I'll stay a little while. Amen. Their touch is to, why didn't you call? You haven't reached out in a few days. I hate that reach out. I said, why ain't you talk to me? Somebody help me. Reached out's too modern for me. They become as women. They're eat up with technology. You can do what you want to. I ain't bringing no iPad up here to preach with. I tell you what, it discredits the Word of God to do that. I've never seen anybody swear in at the courthouse on an iPad. I've been on an airplane a lot of times with a black back King James Bible. Sitting down, open that Bible. People look at it like it's a coiled rattlesnake. They walk around and say, Lord, man, what you got? But I've never had that impact from an iPad. First, I don't own one. Somebody say amen. But I've never seen that impact on others. Just the visibility of a Bible makes a difference. Amen. I'm not muddying the water about that. Now, you can do what you want to. I'm just telling you, to me, they like that technology, the latest. Got the new iPhone this and the iPhone that. Hey man, I got about 160 more here. They have a strong desire to be like others. Every time they go to the beauty shop, they take a picture of some movie stars. I want it to look like her. I want to look like a man of God. I don't want there to be any mistake about it. My daddy used to cut grass with a tie on. Brother Sammy Allen, I talk about him a lot. Brother Jimbo Seaton was hunting with him, deer hunting, and said that Brother Sammy got in it. They went to the woods. It's pitch black dark, and they climbed up in their tree stands. And he said, Brother Jimbo, you sit right here. And said, if that big one comes through, said, you just, hey man, park one in it. He said, I'm going east down here and just holler. Brother Sammy got down there, had his coveralls zipped up to his chin. Carhartt coveralls, got down there, and he said he got on his knees, got to praying. Oh, God! And for 30 minutes, he's praying with intensity. And said, finally got quiet, and said, Brother Sammy got still. Jimbo said, we ain't never going to hear no deer. We're never going to see a deer. I'll never kill a deer. Oh, God, screaming up. And about that time, said, while he was just rolling through his mind, he said, boom, boom! Went down there, and there's Brother Sammy standing over a big old 8-point. He said, Brother Jim, we're going to have to field dress him and carry him up out of the road. And said, Brother Sammy unzipped his coveralls, and when he did, he had a white shirt on. And had a tie on. And Brother Jimbo said, Brother Sammy, we're deer hunting. He said, oh, but you never know when you're going to have to preach. You got to, hey man, always be ready. Amen. He said, hey man, always be ready. Oh, yes. Now, y'all can argue with me all you want to, but I'm right. Women don't mind disrespecting tradition. They don't care how granny dressed. It's the 21st century. So many characteristics, and I've left off a bunch. But I want you to notice in the text, Jeremiah 51, verse 36, the Bible says that the mighty men of Babylon. First thing I want us to notice tonight, if we're going to solve the problem, we're going to have to recognize the previous credentials. These were not just any kind of men. These were what kind of men? Everybody say mighty men. They was what kind of men, everybody? Now, you understand that the Word of God is divinely inspired. And there's no filler words. Everything you see is exactly what the Holy Ghost dictated. And what he wanted us to know, that there's a difference between a mighty man and just a man. The credentials that were demanded for mighty, I'm talking about every single characteristic. I'm talking about every single mark of a mighty man. God doesn't toss out titles lightly. That old Shumanite woman said, there's a mighty man of God. I perceive he's special. These were mighty men. At one time, our movement I'm talking about was identified by mighty men. Mighty men. I'm talking about men who stood for something. Men who stood against something. I'm talking about mighty men. I got to thinking about those mighty men who had an influence on me. We're going to have to influence these younger generation. I had some mighty men who were consistent. I believe consistency is one of the greatest tenets, one of the greatest recognizable factors in the life of a mighty man. He's consistent. Dr. Harold B. Seitler pulled up the first time he preached at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. I was so excited. Daddy was still alive in about 1992. And they pulled up with the Greyhound, and some of his senior citizens got off, and Dr. Seitler had myasthenia gravis. That's a muscle disease. We need to talk. He talked like that right there. That was not his way of speaking. It was because he had a problem with his vocal cords. Dr. Seitler pulled up and he looked at our sign, and our sign said 9 o'clock Sunday school, 10 o'clock preaching, 6 o'clock evening service. And I was so excited, man, he's there. And Dr. Seitler just looked at the sign. He had his cane. He said, "What is that?" I said, "What is what, Dr. Seitler?" He said, "What is that 6 o'clock evening service? What is that?" I said, "Well, that's when we have church on Sunday night." He said, "Why did you change?" I'm starting to see little blue specks and I'm hearing birds behind me. My carotid artery is starting to close up. Somebody help me. And I said, "Sir," he said, "I preached 14-week revivals for Curtis. He's met at 7:30. It was 7:30 at Forest Hill." Said, "Why did you change?" I'm going, "Oh, God." And I'm just thinking, how can I get a ladder? We've just paid several thousand dollars for that sign, but I'm fixing to get some paint, just paint over the thing. Get me some mailbox letters and put up there 7:30. He said, "Why did you change?" I said, "Well, Dr. Seitler," I said, "we've always met at 6:30 because we had to rent a facility and the cleaning crew came in, and that's the only time we started in a rented facility. He said, you mean you've always met at 6? I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Then it'll be 6 to the rapture. Don't you ever change, boy." I said, "Praise God." Hallelujah. Poor. I Billy White shoes that one, praise God. Y'all all right? Mighty men, I'm talking about men who have not transitioned like 21st century bunch of effeminate graduates are doing. They're men who are consistent. They're men who are corrective. Somebody's got to tell them. I know you don't like it because you don't like conflict. That's the problem with those soldiers of Babylon. The problem with the soldiers of Egypt. They didn't like the conflict. It was wearing on them. They didn't like the criticism. You get to street preaching, Brother Swanson, people won't criticize you. If you take a stand for anything, count on it, friend. Daddy told Dr. Seitler, same preacher, said, Dr. Seitler said, they're making fun of us over here at Forest Hills. We started running them buses in Atlanta, picking up kids, said, they're making fun of our converts. They call them easy believism. He said, as long as they're kicking you in the rear, said, you know you still got the lead.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Just keep on. They were corrective men. Dr. Malone, y'all know, he's one of our heroes. The latter years of his life, I got to preach with him often. And I remember one particular time I was preaching in a conference similar to this, and I was on the poster, you know, one of the guest preachers, and I was fired up, man. And I got to preach and felt pretty good. I got to feeling it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, sir, you're probably not God called. But I got to feeling it. Hey! And I got to feeling it. And I said, I tell you, praise God, if I'm going to fall, I want to fall too far to the right. Amen. And everybody in there said, that's right. I said, man, I'm going to say that again. They liked that. I said, praise God, I don't want to fall to the left. And if I'm going to fall, I want to fall too far to the right. Hallelujah. Praise God. And everybody said, amen. I feel good. Until Dr. Malone got up. He said, turn to Joshua chapter 1.
He said, the Lord told Joshua, neither turn to the right hand or to the left. Said, we want to fall where God falls, don't we, Tony?
And I'm sitting right where you are, sir. I'm on the poster. Everybody's been backing me, amen, woo, until he said, don't we, Tony? He turns to another text. Said, the Bible says here, neither turn to the right hand or to the left. We want to fall when we fall. We want to fall where the Bible falls, don't we, Tony?
See, this younger generation can't take correction.
And you preachers are scared to give it. Because we want everybody to like us. There's things I've said that's hurt me with men. They quit having me. It's put a distance between us. But I had to say what God told me to say. See, I'm accountable for that. I got to answer for when God burdens me and says, you need to explain that to him. He don't know. It's getting quiet in here. There was a day when the previous credentials of God's men were stout. There was no mistake that they were men. Men of confrontation, men of correction. Daddy, when I first answered the call to preach, he gave me the book, Clarence Larkin's book on dispensational truths. And he handed me the book, Right to Dividing. And he said, if you'll just learn that, son, you'll be smarter than most people. And man, I started honing through that thing. And one day a great preacher, I'm not going to call his name, but he was in the car with me and Daddy, and they were discussing the gap theory. And I was 19 years old. I didn't got the book, man. Clarence Larkin's book. And they was talking back and forth about it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I think. Daddy just put, all of a sudden, the car just, arr! He said, did anybody ask you what you thought? He said, he called that preacher's name and said, did you ask Tony what he thought? And I'm going, uh-oh. Ba-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, it's serious business now. See, nowadays we'll let that millennial take over the conversation. And he don't know big woods from brush. He don't know a saw log from a sapling. Hey, man. Don't know ye from haw or woe. Somebody help me. God help us. And they became as women. But there was a day when mighty men had a manner about them. They had a message about them. You know, I never had to say, I wonder what Lester Roloff meant. God killed a hippie and the mule walked on. Long hair has always been identified as effeminacy or rebellion. And our Christian schools now, if they can't grow it out, they just grow it up. Look like a shrubbery. Somebody say amen. Don't bow your head, son. They asked me to preach here. Amen. Amen. I don't understand that kind of stuff. You never had to question. I don't remember. Never had to question. Well, what does Dr. Howells think about that? I mean, if you did, you need to go to the slow student class. They were easy. Their messages. They made sense. I can hear some of these preachers preaching some of these modern camp meetings and on that ship. You don't know if they're independent, fundamental, what they are. You sure can't tell if it's contemporary or help me now. I get through hearing them preach, what did they say? Don't y'all judge me, sir. I'm doing the judging this evening. Everybody all right? I got the black suit on. Hey, I said, I don't even know what they said when they get through. I've never heard Mike Johnson preach, and I said, what point was he making? What was he? Did you get that? What an hour we're in. My wife can talk. I don't even know what she's saying. I've learned just don't say, just look. She starts telling me about somebody and what happened. and the woman at the cash register, and then people behind her with all them food stamps. And man, she goes to rolling off all that stuff. And the best thing, and I'm going, when we get through, I'm going, what did she say? I look over at Troy, he just goes. I hear preachers preach, they won't identify what side they're on. Previous credentials, man, we had some men of God, you know what they were. You didn't have to go ask them, you already knew what they was going to say. Hey, amen, I got to hurry. Can y'all handle a few more? My sermons are like a fat woman crawling through a barbed wire fence. A few more points and I'll be through. Stay with me just a minute. In this verse, we see a problematic crisis. Verse 36 says, these mighty men of Babylon, they forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds, and their might has failed. I'm seeing a parallel with these men who turned into women. My Bible said they turned into women. My Bible says they transgendered. They had a transition from mighty men to a bunch of effeminates. That's what my Bible says. Now, y'all's might not say it, but that's what mine says. There's a problem right here, and I mean, it's permeable. I'm talking about it's crossed the time of Old Testament to present-day Christendom. The problem is, man, there's cowardice. It all boils down to they cowards. They're scared if they say that, they may run somebody off. Can I help you? A good church is not only measured by what it attracts, but a good church is measured, Brother Tim, by what it repels. And if you being a man, if you taking a stand in God's word, a firm stand, I'm talking about a foundational truth and declare it with authority, without apology. Hey, friend, not everybody's going to like that. Not everybody's going to accept that. And there's cowardice. Well, man, I'm telling you, we may lose somebody. There's comfort. They remained in their holds. They were comfortable. No artillery flying, no arrows, no spears. No danger. No danger of Goliath. We're going to stay in our holds. Let him taunt the nation of Israel. Let him defy the God of Israel. But we're all right here. It's the last days. Jesus is coming soon. Now, we ought to hammer down, praise God, with that thought in mind. I see a crisis right now, and the results of this cowardice and the results of this comfort that we're enjoying, this comfort that we're so accepted, we're so, amen, I'm talking about we're so comfortable that there winds up a collapse. Look at what happens. Because they would not come out of their holes, because they forbore. That word forbore, it means to avoid conflict. Well, I don't want to say anything and everything. I don't want to call no names. I ain't got there yet, but it's coming, praise God. I'm just going to keep y'all's attention. Is everybody all right? I don't, if there was a restaurant in this town that was selling poison food, and three people had done died from food poisoning, and I knew what the restaurant was and knew where it was, and I said, Dr. Treba, there's a restaurant I found out about from the health department that's poisoning people. But I don't want to tell all the people. Because, you know, there's good people that works at that restaurant. And not all the food's bad. Some of it's good. And I'd say, now listen, y'all, let me warn you. There's some bad restaurants in town. But I just want to say, I don't want to call any names. I don't want to tell you to salvage your young people, to salvage your young couples. I wouldn't want to say anything about it. I'd say, there's a restaurant. Y'all just be careful where you eat. Just be careful where you eat tonight. Are y'all all right? That's what this crowd's doing. Because they're cowardice. And what happens, the result of that is collapse, the burning. The Bible said they became as women and they burned her dwelling places and her bars are broken down. I ain't through yet. Can y'all handle it? The present condition. Now we got a weakened church. If you think that now, North Valley is an exception, and there are some places, and I thank God we can look to them. But our stripe, we're losing them every day. We're losing them to na 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 We're losing them. You're naive if you think your young people aren't attracted to that. The flesh lusts against the spirit. Hey, the flesh lusts against the spirit. Hey, the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. So, hey, we got a battle going on. We got a generational battle going on. And a bunch of effeminate preachers acting like women. They're weak. They're wanting. When's the last time you used your baptistry? I'm not talking about, you know, I went to one church, looked up and there's four Christmas trees. Had the Easter bunny up in there. Had enough dirt in that thing, you could have put a garden in there. Somebody help me. Dead spiders. Is everybody listening to me? What a shame a baptistry sitting up in there dry as a bone, y'all. There's something wrong somewhere. We're reaping the consequences presently of a bunch of preachers who acted like women. If it's right, it's still right. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. And then there's that wavering crowd. They can't decide what side. They can't decide. Double-minded man, James said, is unstable in all his ways. Well, so-and-so was at the conference, yeah, mocking us. Y'all heard what some of them said to me. Oh, you can't take a joke? Yeah, I can take it, but I can give it back too. Is everybody okay? I'm better at giving it back. Is everybody all right? Well, they're wavering. You know why? Because you're wavering. You're not dogmatic enough. Let your yeas be yea. Quit ye like men, man. Make your mind up. There's a perilous consequence. They're burning down their dwelling places. There's structural damage being taken. I'm talking there's structural damage taking place right now in 21st century Christianity. The Laodicean church is seeing such structural damage. That I don't, some of it can't, I'm Brother Carr, praise God, hey, he still can. But there's some places won't be brought back. Some of these Bible colleges, once a Bible college apostatizes, I've never seen them turn around. Dr. Jack Howell said, every single Bible college will sooner or later apostatize. I heard him say it, and he said, Hiles Anderson will as well. Because that's an institution. The church is an organism. That church ain't going down, friend. The main thing is to keep the main thing. We don't need the tail wagging the dog. You need to decide what you are. Amen. I mean, you need to decide. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Your church. Not your workout center. Not your drug rehab center. Not an institution, but a church, friend. Thank God for the church. Everything. I'm a New Testament church man. I got saved in a church. Amen. I surrendered the call to preach in a church. Can I preach a little bit longer? I felt like it. And I got saved in a church, and I surrendered to preach in a church. I met my wife in a church. I got married in a church. Every major decision that ever has been in my life has been surrounded by church functions. Make church big. Don't make it little. Our stand has been distorted. Our strength is being diminished. Say what you will, the woman's the weaker vessel. I think that's King James. She's the weaker vessel. And here they're identified as women. They became as women. We're seeing a weakened church. Now I'm through. What can we do about it? I'm glad there's something we can do about it. The Bible said fight the good fight of faith. Old Hinkle Little was asked one time, that mountain preacher from West North Carolina. They said, Brother Little, it was at Glen Haven Baptist Church. He used to sing old mountain songs. They asked him, Brother Little said, have you fought a good fight? And Brother Little thought a minute. And he said, no, but I've been in a good one. Did you know the cause that we're involved in keeping people out of hell? Yep. Salvaging homes. Yes. Praise God, promoting the old time religion. That's a cause that's worthy, friend. Now all that was introduction. Can y'all handle the message? Here it is, just three things we got to do. We're in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 said we got to take that sword of the Spirit. It's been preached on all week, but we got to wield the sword. Some of you got it sheathed. You need to just take it out. A sword does three things. A sword divides. You got to decide what side of the fence you're on. And this crowd is rubbing shoulders with somebody that listen to it. You're complacent with the crowd. You're just as guilty to rub shoulders. Somebody's rubbing shoulders with that crowd because you're influenced by them and you're allowing their influence on your people. You're going to have to somewhere decide, I can't do this no more. I didn't say it was easy. But things that are right ain't always easy. I can't promote him no more. That stuff's going to get on my people. That's going to get in my family. It divides. It divides. It divides homes. The sword will divide a home. It's going to take a man to use the sword the right way. It divides. Number two, it defends. If there's anything worth defending, it's our heritage. I can't understand people throwing Lee Robertson pictures. One of these colleges recently just took the Lee Robertson room and just tore everything out of it and threw all Lee Robertson's pictures. And I'm talking about it made my skin crawl. If y'all ever take a Jack Treber preacher down after he's in heaven and I find out about it, if I outlive him, I'll come up and burn his place down. And they'll never know it. Is everybody okay? That's our heritage. They won't erase the past. One of these colleges got a Curtis Hudson building. They've raised so much money, Curtis Hudson. I couldn't build a Curtis Hudson outhouse. Somebody say amen. We got suits in there and a guitar in there and an accordion in there and one of these Bibles. If they thinking about throwing it in the trash, don't call me. I'll call the law on them. Somebody say amen. I'm redneck enough to ride up there at night. Is everybody okay? Listen at me, friend. We've been given something rich. Man, we got to wield the sword. The sword defends. The sword defeats. There's not a battle you're going to face. You say, Brother Tony, I'm doing this by myself. Everybody at home, they don't like this. Well, join the club. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. The pressure's on for you to reconsider what you are. They're doing it every day. The pressure's on for you to reconsider, what am I? Well, I want to be a mighty man for God.
Amen.
As we stand together all over this house, I want you to be honest. They became his women. It's not some isolated text. It's all through the Bible. He told Timothy, fight that good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier. He said to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in conflict.
Yeah, we are.
We're in warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Hey, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, he walketh about. He's walking tonight. Walketh about as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. Right now he's walking up down these aisles, going up down these pews. The pastor's going to handle his invitation. Now, if you're lost, I said earlier in the service, this would be probably the most conducive atmosphere you're ever going to be in to be saved. I can't think of a better place to get saved than right here, right now. But Christians, let's start with preachers. Why don't you preachers say, I don't want to be unidentifiable. Why don't daddies and papas come next? Why don't teenage young boys and young adults, you come in? While they play the invitation, would you mind the Lord? Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Preacher, you come.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.